go to Politico's Bill Thompson. Bill.
Hi. Thanks for doing this. Senator Stabenow, you put out a statement last week. I'm going to read from it. I am strongly opposed to effort in the House Agriculture Appropriations Bill to gut conservation and energy programs that passed in the Farm Bill with wide bipartisan majorities. Can you tell me a little bit more about the what you're upset about, what you're concerned with on the conservation side? Does it have an impact on what you're talking about today? And is there a similar problem in the Senate Appropriations Bill?
Well, I'm very concerned that even though the House Agriculture Appropriations Committee was basically given no cut, they were given the same allocation as last year, they still chose to cut in areas where we had already passed in the Farm Bill with very significant bipartisan majorities, you know, very important dollars. Now, they cut $400 million out of conservation. I don't know where that's going to end up. I know that every year in the Senate there are some cuts, what they call CHIMPs, as you know, which are basically going into mandatory funding in order to balance the budget. In the Senate there, they were given less of an allocation this year, so they have real challenges. But I've worked with the chair of the Appropriations Committee in the Senate and the chair of the Agricultural Appropriations, Senator Pryor, to minimize the impacts on the cuts that they had to make. I was very pleased that they chose not to make any cuts in the energy title, for instance, and in the new research foundation that we put together, both requests that I had made of appropriations. And in fact, there were fewer cuts or changes than have been done in previous years. So I was very appreciative that the Appropriations Committee worked closely with me on this. I was quite stunned that the House appropriators, even when they did not have to, chose to make significant cuts in conservation, certainly ones that I would oppose, coming forward here in any final bill. And of course, I mean, we see the other ongoing attacks on nutrition and so on. But what we did in the Farm Bill was important. It took a lot of time to get done. It was strongly bipartisan. And I would hope in the end analysis it would be the framework for what the appropriators agreed to in a conference committee.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next caller on the line from Iowa Public Radio, Duri Bouskaran.
Hi, thanks. I had a question for Secretary Vilsack. A lot of the nation's farmers are in the prairie grasslands region, so I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about the importance of conservation programs in this area, and I guess the importance you see it as, I know you're familiar with the area, so I guess the importance of this region for the whole country.
Well, there are these two areas in the Midwest and the center part of the country that are key to this initiative. The Upper Mississippi River Basin was referred to earlier, and this these eight designated areas include the Mississippi River Basin area, as well as the prairie grasslands area. These are two critical areas. There are many benefits from conservation. First and foremost, obviously, it's about improving soil quality and enhancing water quality, and we're beginning to see the results of conservation in Iowa. And in other states in the Midwest in terms of the Upper Mississippi River Basin and the fact that we are seeing nitrogen and phosphorus levels decline, which is obviously is improving the health of our waterways. More work needs to be done. There is also the job component, which I mentioned earlier. The reality is these resources go to farmers, but those farmers basically have to hire small contracting firms to do a lot of the work that's being done and will be done in terms of conservation. Those are jobs, and those are meaningful jobs in rural areas, and particularly in small towns. It's also about water quantity and preserving precious water resources. We're impacted by drought and a changing climate, and there's no question that conservation gives us the capacity to adapt and to mitigate to the impacts and effects of climate change. And I think also it lays out an opportunity for us to continue to expand on our regulatory certainty initiatives, working with sister agencies like the Department of Interior and Endangered Species, working with state DNR, natural resource departments, in terms of water quality initiatives they may have. There's an opportunity for us to partner conservation activities with some degree of certainty about regulations that would apply to land. This will enhance those opportunities. And finally, I think it gives rise to a new income source for landowners and farmers around the country as we establish local and regional ecosystem markets. The ability of regulated industries to essentially use conservation to satisfy a regulatory responsibility in terms of air quality or in terms of water quality, I think you're going to continue to see a lot of that opportunity. And this goes back to the whole notion that this regional conservation partnership effort is really focused on results. It's also focused on innovation and partnerships. There's no reason why that partnership can't, as an adjunct, create an ecosystem market or have regulatory certainty in terms of endangered species or develop leveraging resources that create new job opportunities in rural areas. So there is a great deal of opportunity here. And last but certainly not least, our ability to continue to produce the great abundance of food that will be required to feed not just our people but around the world and to continue to support exports is dependent on the condition of our soil. To the extent that we're engaged aggressively in conservation, soil quality is going to be better, soil health is going to be better, and water quality is going to be better. In the long run, we all benefit from that.
We have time for one more call. Let's go to Ellen Ferguson with Congressional Quarterly.
Hi, and thank you for having the call. I wanted to go back to the question that Bill asked. With the proposal in the House Ag Approach bill, how could that possibly affect the funding for these projects, since I understand the money for this approach is being pulled from several different conservation programs?
Well, Ellen, as you probably know, the Farm Bill directs that first and foremost $100 million be established up front. That contribution I don't think is going to be impacted by the 15 budget discussions. It's also 7% of EQIP money and 7% of CSP acres. To the extent that resources are limited in EQIP or CSP, obviously that would have some small impact. But at the end of the day, we shouldn't take away from the significance of this announcement, as has been so articulated by Sean and Diane and others. This is about partnerships. It's about innovation. It's about leveraging. It's about doing something that's not been done to scale before. We've had some extraordinary work being done here at the Great Lakes, some extraordinary work in the upper Mississippi River Basin, which I think has led us to be more confident that this is going to work in all parts of the country. And the critical conservation areas we've designated, I think, pretty much represent a large swath of the United States and private farmland and forested areas. There are several other areas, frankly, that we couldn't get to because Congress limited us to 8. But we're a creative bunch, and we'll figure out how to make sure that there are opportunities in some of those other areas that have not been designated today. They obviously can still contribute and participate in the national and state competitions, but in terms of focused, targeted resources, we'll be able to put together programs to adjust and to assist them as well. Bottom line, this is going to work. We're excited about this. I know our NRCS personnel is anxious to get to work, so this is a good day. And regardless of what Congress does in 2015, obviously we would prefer not having any reduction, but the reality is unless Congress gets its handle on forest fire funding properly and unless it deals with sequester and caps and nutrition spending and the like, you're going to continue to have these conversations. We're going to continue to move forward, though, to try to figure out how to get more work done with whatever resources are available.